This is the third section of this series of lectures. We talk about evolution of the eagle through microbes to human. Now we focus on the highest form, okay, in this universe, what we call ourselves. We talk about thought forms, okay? Now, this word is IS, is. In English, it's third person. I. Obviously, is. It's grammatically wrong, but this is to illustrate the concept. This I is not who you truly are. It's like a statue covered by mud sitting in the middle of Europe. This I, instead of saying am, is I is, not who you truly are. It is an act of reductionism, confused with the sound I. Because, now realistically, what does the word, the sound I mean? To the Chinese guy who speaks no English, me no understand English, you know? Okay? I means what? Who's I? To the Indian guy, I don't know. Okay, so this word, this sound I, is produced by a vocal cord, and it's the thought process of English-speaking people in our mind. It's a thought form. Okay? Now, of course, well, in Chinese, they have the word bo, wo. I'm sure in other cultures, they have the same thought form. They have the same word, or different word, to mean the same things. Like Qing Xin's example of wine. Again, this word I, it's not really who you are. It's just the sound, which represents a thought, a concept. When we were born, we were a plain sheet, nothing. Okay. In fact, that's not really true. But let's assume when we were born, we were pure. Now, young infant hear the word of his name, Johnny, Johnny, blah, 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 baby, baby, you know, from his parents. He associates these words with a thought form. You can call him Johnny. You can call him Sonny. Hopefully you don't call him Bully. And this equates the name with who he is. Equating, identifying. Now, the child, actually children, frequently refers themselves in the third person because they haven't quite got the concept yet of I. I have heard many times, oh, Johnny is hungry. So instead of saying, I'm hungry, Johnny is hungry. Johnny is really a third person. And Johnny is I. But that is not linked strongly yet. So children obviously haven't mastered that degree yet, so they say, Johnny is hungry. And soon, they learn the magical word I and equate it with the name. That's when they start manipulating their parents. Right? Then next come the thoughts of me and mine. Now, I is really me, okay? Then, well, I is not me. I is who I am. Then we come to me, to designate things that are part of I. Now, there's a designation now. This belongs to me. This is mine. So that thought process has developed further. It's identifying with objects, which is a form. Now, these thoughts that represents things integrate into a sense of self, therefore deriving an identity from them. I am a Chinese. I have this. How many kids actually have kind of their favorite toy that they have to sleep with? I think most kids have one of their favorite toys. And then they are identifying it because that toy is part of them. Now, as a child grows up, the original I thought attracts other thoughts to itself. They identify with gender. I'm male, you're female. I'm a boy, you're a girl. Possession, this is mine. Don't touch it. Okay. At 2 years old, they start having this. They won't share their toys. Now, they start identifying their body parts. And unfortunately, in medicine, we reinforce that idea. Okay? If a child doesn't know three of their body parts by 18 years old, we send them to a child psychologist. because they have developmental retardation. As perceived by the senses. Right, we will develop the idea of senses later on. So hang in there, okay? And you understand this a lot more when we go into senses. Nationality. I'm Chinese, you're Indian, he's Greek, and they are white, I'm black, races. Okay? Then what? We progress further as the human race progress. Religion. Okay, see, we start asking questions. Then we also have professions. I'm a doctor, you are whatever. And, you know, those PhDs were professional students earlier on, you know. Now, we play a role. Doctors play the role of doctoring. Lawyers play the role of lawyering. And we develop knowledge. Professors came about, okay. And then we form habits. We develop a memory of what we have. Then we develop a behavior. Then we have characters, life, karma, destiny. Where did we hear that before? See? This last part. Remember? Oh, were you here?
Yeah,
no. You were. She wasn't here on the first lecture.
No.
Oh, you. All right. You weren't here on the first lecture.
What religion? What is the best religion? By Dalai Lama.
Okay, you missed that part. Okay. See how these series are interlinked, because the first lecture that we talk about, what Dalai Lama said was this later part, right? So I'll develop that in a minute. Okay. See how this role playing and how we develop. Let's just look at this here. My dad is a policeman. He caught a robber once. I have a real big dog. He licks my face all the time. Ruby, what is that supposed to mean?
I'm trying to show that there's a competition between the two kids.
Well, you're more advanced than this, right? You're obviously, well, taking us to the next level. This is basically, well, at this stage, we're talking about identifying with things, professions, and all that. Okay? And Ruby has developed it a bit further.
I thought she was just talking about Monique.
Okay. All right. I don't know what that means.
The girl was Monique.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Wow, she's so pure.
Because Monique has a big dog.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, this is a quote from Dalai Lama, okay? For those of us who were not here on the first lecture, in an interfaith religion conference, Dalai Lama was asked the question, what is the best religion? Now this is an interfaith religious conference. So there were obviously Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and Catholics, Roman Protestants, or whatever, okay? So somebody asked Dalai Lama this question, what is the best religion? All right. And what Dalai Lama said was, whichever religion gets you closest to God. Now, that has no meaning until he defines what God is. God, he defines as how you can be nice to your fellow man, how you can be nice to your family, what you do as a good deed, how you can be kind to people, and how you can be loyal to your country and all these, okay? So basically he was developing the concept of humanity. And that transcends all religious form. And he was getting to the higher level than religion, which to me is pure consciousness. For a Buddhist to be able to say that, he has gone beyond his confine of his religion. So he said, take care of your thought, because thought, remember, he started with this. What Einstein said is optical illusion. That's what the philosopher said. You think, therefore, you are who you think you are. Thought, it becomes word. Word leads to action. Action leads to a habit. Habit leads to a character. We say life before destiny. And he said character becomes destiny. I think the destiny in here is different from the destiny we talk about. Jing Xin mentioned, we have to be sure about our definition. Okay, in one of the lectures, remember that? Otherwise we're talking about apple and oranges. In this destiny, Dalai Lama basically is what your role is. Your role playing. Okay? You're a role-playing. When your character thinks that you are a doctor, then you develop your destiny as a doctor. You think you are, but this is not what other religions talk about as destiny. This destiny that we say is beyond, is later here, is life. Then if we skip that, okay, your character becomes your life, and your life leads to your destiny. Now that destiny and this destiny are two different definitions. That's why sometimes when we read sutras, it can be very difficult. It's because we don't define the terms. Okay? So, this is from Dalai Lama. He started with word thought. And that's why thought is so important. And if we don't understand this concept, we have lots of difficulties understanding what leads to all the subsequent events. Now, before awakening, enlightenment, the word I comes from some mental construct of this egoistic or egoistic self. It's a mental concept, which is really a thought, isn't it? Once awakened, this word I comes from a much deeper place within yourself. It's that schedule. From inside that schedule. Earlier this I was covered with dirt and mud. And this is the glorious part which is your true self. Now, you will detect subtle changes in your action with people because you are, once you're enlightened, talking about much deeper level. Whereas before you were talking about a I form. This is your true nature. So this word I means very different thing once you know and discover that you are not the illusion. Then your relationship with people, your speech, your attitude and your behavior will change. And that's what Dalai Lama said. Once you clear your thought, you actually take a whole totally different path in the way you deal with life. And your destiny will be altered. Any questions up to this point?
Sorry, at this point, since many of us deeply religious and spiritual, trying our best to walk the path, just want to describe a little bit here when we are on our path to or trying to be enlightened. You detect subtle changes in your actual interaction with people, speech, attitude, and behavior. Those are very important, just to reiterate what Dr. Chen is saying. These subtle changes, interaction with people, speech, attitude, and behavior, when we're going through that journey, it is not easy for others who are not on the same journey to understand you. We will have trouble interacting with people. We talk about different speeches, while others will talk about, I bought a new car and blah, 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 how much money we're making, is your daughter getting married and grandchildren, blah, blah, blah. Their value system, their attitude, you might detect those things do not interest you anymore. And then you might become rather withdrawn or quiet, or we are in the state that we feel, okay, the world don't understand me. Right? And then it's easy for us to withdraw into our own little hermit kind of a sphere. And that some religious practice actually encourage that, to go into hermit lifestyle. But not at AWE. At AWE, we engage, okay? Because we feel that going up to the top of the Himalayas to sit there and meditate all day long, become some guru, completely detached from the world, is not the meaning of life. So we have to try our best here to stay, act, talk, think, interact as normal human beings suitable for this society. But don't be surprised, many of times we may not fully succeed, or we may be misunderstood, or maybe we anger some people,
or we may even not have too many companions or people of like mind to travel this journey with us, but we do not receive, like we are firm on this commitment, because we know this is the path not only of human but all life form is to attain the ultimate goal of enlightenment. So we do not recede, we do not retreat, and no matter how much difficulty or obstacle we encounter, we will forge forward, and we are so grateful for the Huan Temple to support this mission that we are walking together on this path. Thank you.
Of course, you weren't here when I tell you about the group, my experience with PhDs, okay? I'll tell you later. PhDs, okay? Just to follow through on that statement, I really have to again pay my tribute to the two PhDs here who make this presentation and this setting possible. Thank you to both of you.
Actually, we only have 15 minutes. Should we fly through this one, or should we just entertain some questions?